Well, this evening, I thought I would think about, you know, in the Polar Express, you have this Saint Nicholas coming out and gives the bell, you know, the first gift of Christmas, you know, and I always, you know, that was kind of always rang a bell for me. Jeez, I tell you, you got to smile. Yeah, I better get a new writer. Okay. It always rang a bell for me. Okay. that always kind of hit a soft spot, as it were, that, oh, wow, the first gift of Christmas. And do you remember, maybe some of you, you know, some, what are the gifts that you have received? Or maybe you didn't have many gifts at Christmas, you know? Was there any special gift that you received, even if it wasn't at Christmas, a special time? What was a special gift? And often we think that Christmas is, well, it's something to be celebrated. We celebrate it with friends or family. We honor the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if it's not about Christ, then it really means very little. You know, there's a little thing my wife, Rhonda, came across. It says, if the house isn't clean, it's still Christmas. If the desserts aren't made, well, if there's no desserts, it's not Christmas. But it says it's still Christmas, even if the desserts aren't made. If there are no decorations, it doesn't matter. It's still Christmas. If there were no gifts, it doesn't matter. It's still Christmas. If the gifts aren't wrapped, it's still Christmas. But if it's not about Christ, then it's not Christmas. And so as we, you know, look around and we see the commercialism and how that our society, sometimes they took away the Ten Commandments, but they don't take, you know, some, for many years, if you bought Christmas cards and so on, they didn't say Christ, they said Xmas and Happy Holidays and all that. Well, now, seemingly this year, there's a lot more saying Merry Christmas. And, you know, I don't know if we've taken the full swing back the other way, but we're starting to recognize that Christ is very much a part of Christmas. And if he is not part of our Christmas, then really Christmas is just another holiday, another time of like the 4th of July or something like that. But Christmas is really about Jesus Christ. And so Christmas can have a lot of pain, like the individual who responded to the our post about the service to pray for those who are lonely or alone this Christmas. You know, it's hard to imagine whenever you have and we have families and friends, it's hard to imagine that some people don't have any family, don't have anyone to celebrate this time with. And I remember my mom, she would talk about when she was in her 90s or 95, 7, 4, 5, 94, 95, somewhere in there. And she would say, well, all of my friends and all my family, my age, I'm the only one left. And so she would feel lonely because the connectors that she had growing up, and she was very much a connector with people. She's a lot like Rhonda. Rhonda connects with everybody, you know. We're driving through the drive-thru at McDonald's coming here tonight, and the girl says, is that the Mrs. McGee? Oh, Mrs. McGee, you make my heart happy. And, who am I, chip beef or something, you know? but she connects and she goes, well, I didn't have her in my homeroom, but Mrs. So-and-so, she had her in the homeroom, you know. But she would come to visit her every day in her classroom. You know, this is a full-grown woman, maybe in her 80s, you know. Yeah. So. Now that was funny, right? That was funny. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So, but anyhow, we have connectors, and some people don't have connectors, and that's one of the things that if you have neighbors and friends, Christmas is about connecting. You know, we often say, oh, it's about presents and this. What'd you get? You know, I remember when I was growing up, you didn't have many gifts, maybe one, maybe two. And so there wasn't a lot of gifts. There wasn't this big commercial thing going on. I remember you get the Sears catalog and, you know, that was your shopping spree. He went through the book and circled all the things you wanted, you know, and there was stuff on every page circled. And, but, you know, I remember counseling this one individual came whenever I was counseling in New Day in Johnstown. He would, you know, and he'd talk about how poor he was and how poor their family was, and they never celebrated holidays. They never celebrated anything because they didn't have anything. And he would talk about how that he would roll up in the rugs at night because they didn't have any heat in the house. So when we start talking about poverty, you know, some people don't have very much. And the challenge is for us to be grateful for what we have. You know, it isn't what we don't have. In our society, we are a commercial society that everything tells us about what we don't have. You know, every commercial you see, if you have this, you're going to have happiness and joy if you just get this. If you just get that bat, you can hit home runs every time. He wants a bat for Christmas. If you can just make those threes, you'll be the star of the basketball team, you know. If we can, you know, if you can have a good sermon every Sunday, you'll be a great preacher. Okay, no joke there. So anyhow, we have this, you know, mentality of, you know, we have to have in order to be satisfied or to be happy. And if we don't get what we want, then we're kind of upset. You know, we're like a little child throwing a tantrum because we can't get what we want. And so everybody else around us is paying for the idea that we didn't get what we want. But the understanding is there's so many things to want, but there are only so many things that are important. You know, there's always a difference between the urgent and the important. There are, as you know, getting ready for the holidays and whatever, urgent things. You got to get this done, got to get that done. It even said here, if the desserts aren't made, well, that is an important thing. You've got to make the desserts. Now, the rest of the stuff is just, you know, kidding. So the idea is the urgency of life and the urgency of daily things can override the very things that are important. And with Christmas and our celebration of Christmas, the most important thing is Jesus Christ and that his love for us. If we don't have his love, it's hard. We can't give love and we can't give forgiveness. See, the idea is that Christ has died to forgive us of our sins. That's why he came. He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And if Christ does not forgive us of our sins, how is it that we can forgive other people of theirs? You know, how can we forgive? We forgive ourselves. God forgives us. We have to forgive ourselves. And the idea of loving someone is reflective of the love that God has given us. And so we are able to love and to help, you know, help others, to care for others, to, in our relationship with others, it's, a way of giving. And giving is a way of receiving because it fulfills who we are and yet it fulfills the need of someone else. You know, there's a song that says, hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Hopes and fears. That there are many fears people have of the past, of the present, the future. Some people live with those types of fears about what's happening, what's not happening, was it good enough, did I do that wrong? Well, the next thing I'm going to do, is it going to be... The fears of life are, Zig Ziglar calls them false evidence appearing real, an acrostic. False evidence appearing real. Fear is that type of thing that creates this illusion of failure. And God has given us his perfect love. And the perfect love is the sacrificial love that says that I will love you no matter what. And so when Christ loves us and we receive that love into our hearts and we receive that love into our lives, our fears are pushed out. Perfect love displaces fear. So we're not afraid of failing because God's not going to punish us for our failures. He's going to teach us. He's going to lead us. He's going to, you know, one of the gifts, as we look at the gifts that God gives to us, he gives to us his gifts of forgive as I have forgiven you, love as I have loved you. So what he is telling us, his gifts to us, we are to be reflective and receptive of those gifts in order to share them with others. So you can't give what you don't have. So we are asking God then to forgive. We're asking God to give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, to give us direction, to give us help. You know, we don't have it all together. I was waiting for an amen. So we don't have it all together. We that was the Polar Express, the misfits in the one coach, you know, and the one, and all the things that are all broken. People's lives are like that. Sometimes people's lives are all broken, and you know, where are they at and what's going on? They feel like they're in that cart or in that place of can't get repaired. But God is in the repair business in the sense that he repairs us from the inside. He heals the broken heart. He heals the broken spirit. He restores the joy and the purpose for our life. And those are the gifts of Christmas, gift of restoration, the gift of peace, the gift of love and forgiveness and joy and, you know, the good things of God. You know, I often think that sometimes people have the misconception that when Jesus showed up, you know, 2,000 years ago, it's just like, okay, this guy shows up and everybody says he was born of a virgin and that he, you know, and then he lived a, you know, great life and he was some teacher and then he died and then his disciples stole his body and they claimed that he rose from the dead. You know, those types of things. But we don't understand is that what makes Jesus different than all the other religions and all the other teachers and so on of our history, the world history, is that it was told hundreds and thousands of years prior to his birth that he would be born of a virgin. You know, this was a promise given through one of the prophets written in the books of the Old Testament about how that there was going to come a Messiah and he'd be born of a virgin, that he would be heir to the throne of David, that he would be a descendant of King David, that he will have his way prepared before him, John the Baptist, that he will be exalted, lifted up on high. He will be our sins. He will bear our sins and carry our sorrows. He will die with the transgressors. He will die on a cross between two thieves. He will be our substitute for our sin. He would be God's way of redeeming us from our sin. You know, if you've taken coupons to go shopping, what do? You redeem the coupon. You turn it in for the value of the coupon on what you're purchasing. Jesus Christ is the blood of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He redeemed us. He paid the price for us to be redeemed, purchased back into this right relationship with God where we can be forgiven and live with him forever. And there isn't this list of demands. There's this list of love and forgiveness and that God will help us to live this life. If you imagine having a personal counselor, your personal therapist, who always has the right answer. You know? I used to like the one lady, she used to come in and she'd say, "Man, you are the best counselor I've ever had. You are the best therapist. I've never had anybody like you." She'd go on and on like that. And I wouldn't say a thing. I would say hello, and I would say, "It's time for us to go." And she'd say, "Wow, this was wonderful." She just talked the whole time. She paid for an hour just to talk and nobody would interrupt her. I was the best guy on the planet. So, but I don't know where I was going with that, but that was funny. Right? No, it wasn't. Okay. New material. All right. So anyhow, we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we move to verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The message of Christ and of Christmas is not condemnation. It's not what you don't have. It's not how bad you are. It's about how that God can take the bad stuff, the mistakes, the failures, and separate them from you by forgiveness. And the world, he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in the word saved means that the world, you and I, might be protected. We might be kept. We might be bought, purchased back from sin, death, and failure. That is the greatest gift of all. We receive Christ and we receive the greatest gift of all. We receive protection in this life and the life to come. It doesn't mean bad things won't happen. It means that we are safe no matter what happens. Nothing can separate us from the hand of God. We may, die in a car accident. We may have some disease. That doesn't mean anything. It means no matter what happens in life, we are safe. Nothing can separate me from the hands of God. I'm protected. I'm kept. I'm bought. I'm purchased. I've been bought with a price. And we had a guy in Bible school. His name was Big Mike. And I know I've told this story, but it's all right. I'm old. And you're supposed to say amen, Ken. All right, so amen. Thank you. Big Mike was a hitman in the mafia. Okay? How he got out of it, I don't know, but I certainly didn't want to tangle with him, nor did I want to disagree with him. And he was just he was a hulk of a man. I mean, he was big, he was burly, and sometimes when they were preaching this or whatever, he would just bolt up out of his chair and he'd say, "You're bought with a price." And he'd just declare this, being bought with a price. He knew what it meant to be bought with a price because he was a hitman who took the lives of people that people paid him for. Their life was bought with a price and he took it from them. How he didn't go to jail, I don't know. But he was in church and he was a changed man because he knew that Jesus Christ had bought him with an eternal price. So, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. It was important. Over the last couple of weeks, we've spoken on these things. If you remember, this was the Roman Empire was occupying all of the then known world. And so when it says that all the world was to be taxed, it was a true statement. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. He is a real person, a real governor. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. The taxation was by family and that family origin. David and Mary both were from the house of David lineage. So they both needed to be in Bethlehem by a certain time. And the really neat thing about this is, you think, well, Mary had received this message from the angel. She's going to have a child, the divine, miraculous conception. Joseph had been told about it by the angel that don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. You will call his name Jesus. They were prepared. She was 9 months pregnant, and she was going to have her baby, and this king makes a crazy decree. But you see, Mary and Joseph were not in the right place. And I think in our lives, there's a divine appointment for us sometimes to be at a certain place at a certain time. And sometimes it's like, how did we get here? How did it end up that this happened in our life? It's a divine appointment. Because Mary and Joseph needed to be in Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. So they made their journey. And so it was, and while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Mentioned on Sunday about the swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes are strips of rags that probably Mary and Joseph tore out of their own garments to wrap their baby in. Because these people, Mary and Joseph, were very, very poor. So Jesus came, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is called the Ancient of Days, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He became a child. And there wasn't even a room in the inn. They laid him in a feed trough. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We come to celebrate the birth of Christ. For unto us the Savior has come. And the message of Christ is one of great joy. And when we sing our songs, you know, go tell her on the mountain and hark the herald angels sing. We're singing with the angels, you know, they're singing, rejoicing. So the angel said, the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Ladies, so, Christmas is about Christ. It's all or nothing. It's either him or our society's, what is it, materialism. And it's not wrong to give gifts, and it's not wrong to receive gifts, because the gifts that we have are gifts of expressions of our love. Love for one another, love for Christ. And our challenge is that we cannot be a Christian without Christ. So, Lord Jesus Christ, who came as this child, who lived a sinless life and died upon the cross, whose blood was shed for the forgiveness of sin, we ask him to forgive us of our sin and live within our hearts. Jesus, we thank you that you aren't just someone who showed up at a period of time. You are God who loved us enough to die for us and come by your Holy Spirit and to touch our lives. For it is you, O God, that we sense and feel in our hearts and our minds and our spirit. It is your Holy Spirit that comes and speaks to us and lets us know that you love us and that you are here to forgive and to establish us in our faith that we might grow on from here. So, Lord Jesus, forgive us of our sins and live within our hearts. Put our name, place our name in your book of life, that we may live with you forever. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and honor for the gift of yourself to us.